Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, February 27th, 2015. And with me today, I have, I'm pretty sure today you guys are two ruffians. John Martellaro, how are you?
Good morning. Who, me? Sweet me?
I know. Total shocker. And Kelly Gumont, how are you today?
I'm ready to rough them up, is what I am.
That's pretty much what I expected. Yeah. Hey, before we get into our topics, I just figured we should probably let people know, because not everyone will have heard yet. Word just came out that Leonard Nimoy, who played Mr. Spock in Star Trek, passed away. And he went into the hospital a couple days ago with chest pains. And I don't know if we know any more yet other than he has passed away.
I don't think we were ready for that.
What we know is that the Guardian app went off for Kelly moments ago and told me that he had passed away.
So that's a sad loss, because Leonard
was a national treasure.
Yeah.
He really was, because he did a lot of other things that were, I think, also really interesting, like the art and photography stuff that he was into.
Also, he gave us the Bilbo Baggins song.
Also the Bilbo Baggins song. And did, in fact, I think, manage to live long enough to live that down. So kudos to him for that.
And he cleared the decks for his whole life to be a nerd.
And he really did.
And be respectable.
He was really out of that nerd closet. And I think that he's part of why it's kind of okay to wear that on the outside now. Mm-hmm. I think he was a huge factor in that. And I am also seeing... if you just Google Leonard Nimoy, that the New York Times is also reporting it. So I'm guessing it's probably legit. He was 83. And so he would almost have been 84. He was like a month away from being 84. He did live long. And I think by any measure, he did in fact prosper. So
I think he is very close to William Shatner's age too. I think they're within a year of each other.
That seems right.
Yeah.
Yeah, William Shatner is also a national treasure.
Yes, but not ours.
No, not ours. No. All right. So, so that's sad to lose Leonard Nimoy. And, there you go.
And my condolences if you are someone who knew him and had him in your life personally and not indirectly the way most of us did.
Yes.
If it was indirectly, I'm sad for your loss. But if you knew him directly, he seemed like a real treat. So I hope that my thoughts are with you if you're one of those people.
Okay. So now back to our regularly scheduled program. And this is where I think we may end up having a little bit of fisticuffs.
Ooh. So, I enjoy a good fisticuff.
Yeah, it's because Kelly roughed me up in the meeting this morning.
Yeah, and I just couldn't let that stay a private thing. Okay, so yesterday... Kelly and Brian were on with me, and we talked about Apple's March 9th media event that was announced. And what
the invites went out yesterday morning, and
yes.
So that obviously made it a very hot topic of discussion. Yes. Apple's having an event, and what are we going to do about it?
Right. And then this morning, John, you started talking about your expectations for the media event, and I immediately drug the needle across the record and thought, wow. We need to put this on the show. So here you are. So yesterday we said that we figured Apple would be giving us a release date and pricing information and probably announce some apps for Apple Watch.
Hard
facts. If they don't lay out the product pricing and tiering, I'm going to be really pissed. I mean, I mentioned yesterday in our chat room that even the video that Johnny Ive does is very vague about the ordering and the tiering of these watches. And I want Apple to come out tomorrow and say, okay, here's the story. 38 millimeter stainless steel sapphire, $349. Apple Sports Watch, here's the price. Here's the pricing of some typical bands. Here's how much the Apple Watch edition is going to cost. And you know, just kind of lay it out for us. I'm tired of this ambiguity and dancing around and mystery and everything. Let's just be done with it. Tell us what we're going to pay.
Well, I do think that we're pretty much at that point because Apple is committed. They're ready to pull the trigger. And back in September, there was still a lot about the product that was vague. And, and I think even for Apple, like I don't think they were sure how some components were really going to work. And the demo units that the media got to play with, it was a very controlled situation.
I perceive a very delicate balance here between pricing and sales. Surely it's a luxury item. Surely it's a fashion item. Surely it's something people are going to crave and want and show off. But if they price it too high in light of this Kickstarter thing with Pebble Time, they could price themselves out of a market to the point where they don't meet their sales expectations. So they've got to hit a sweet spot where they sell every watch they make. And that means there's a very delicate balance between being too expensive and too devalued in a sense.
Well, they have to hit the sweet spot between Apple people and watch people. There may not necessarily be a lot of overlap there.
Yeah, that
and
too.
And if they're trying to market the Apple Watch Edition as something that's sort of higher end and fancy for high-end fancy watch people, then they need to make sure that it rates there. You don't want to sell if the going rate for a fancy high-end watch is 10 grand and yours is one, you're going to get laughed out of the market by the watch people.
Exactly.
So that's the first thing they have to consider. And then the second thing they have to consider is Apple people, those people who lined up in September outside Apple stores on spec. Maybe whatever Apple is announcing today will be available today, and I want to be in line when that happens. That happens every time there's an Apple event. And then the third group is people. Folks who go, oh, I heard Apple had a thing. Isn't Apple coming out with a watch? The casually interested observer who maybe has an iPhone but no other devices might be interested in this. Somebody who walks into the store and maybe is able in whatever way this is happening is someone who's in a position to make an impulse $300 or $400 purchase. You want to be able to appeal to those folks as well. So I think that they're going to have to have, like I said before, a schizophrenic marketing campaign for this because sport's going to have to be the fancy tracker for the outdoor, active, exercisey, sweaty bunch that are seeing the sport in men's health and women's health and runner, you know, I run a lot magazine or whatever it's called. You know, there's going to be that campaign, but then there's going to have to be the high-end campaign for the watch people. Like, you know, you love your – I'm not going to name a fancy watch because it'll just hurt Brian's ears because I know I'll get it wrong. But
Let's go with Zenith. I think that won't hurt his ears.
Okay. We know you love your Zenith. Here's something you can put right on the shelf next to it in that fancy little case where you keep all your watches, and this one will totally – be legit. It will work just, you know, it will work just as well as and be just as classy of a watch as the ones that you already have.
Well, Kelly, I'm still in a dilemma here. You know, we know that the base electronics, the guts of the watch, can be had for what Apple says, $349. Mm-hmm. So there's an indication of the basic cost of the electronics, you know, a minimum case, and that's it. So and I've seen estimates that say maybe an ounce of troy ounce of gold, which is running what $1,200 an ounce or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you add an ounce of gold to a $350 watch, which is worth $1,200, how do you come up with $10,000?
Well, we don't know that that's going to be the number. First of all, you come up with that number by appealing to fancy watch people.
Yeah,
because fancy watch people are going to pay that for a watch.
But there has to be some relationship between the cost and value. Otherwise, people feel like they're being ripped off for nothing.
Since Jeff brought it up, I'm going to use the same name again. Have we seen what the actual cost of components is in a Zenith watch versus what they sell for?
I'm sure we have, and I'm sure for the average person, there would be a huge logical disconnect.
Is this a mechanical watch with gears and springs?
Yeah.
Because it could be that the cost of all those fine gears and the machining and the craftsmanship that goes into building a fine timekeeping mechanism merits the price. But when you've got $39 worth of digital electronics in there, it's a little harder to make that case.
Well, if you look at the rest of the components and the design process and all the money that Apple has to invest in creating the product, then that comes into play too. Also, you have the fact that and Kelly, you mentioned this a couple minutes ago. You have to price the product for the market that it's supposed to be in. So if you want to sell a high-end watch and you're targeting the luxury market and you go with the pricing that Jim Suva from Citigroup is suggesting, $950, you may be coming in below that market, and it will be perceived as a product by your potential audience as something that's not worth buying. So there's a perceived value also.
Exactly.
I can't wait to see how Apple figures this out.
I'm looking forward to that also. And by the way, I think the $950 price point that Jim Suva is suggesting is low.
I think so too. I mean, it doesn't even account for the cost of the gold.
Right.
Yeah, I think that we're coming in at $5,000 for the Apple Watch edition.
Yeah, I think it's going to be closer to five. It might be like, you know, $39.95 or $45.50 or something, but I don't think it's going to be $10,000.
Well,
I'm not convinced it's a five-digit number.
Yeah, we'll know March 9th.
So, what else are we going to know on March 9th?
Well, and it's like you read my mind, John, because I want to make sure we hit these other things that are bouncing around in your head. What are you expecting we're going to see in addition to Apple Watch on the 9th?
Well, you know, it's hard to figure out what they're really going to do, but I know one thing. The Apple Watch is going to be the centerpiece. It's going to be the showcase. But there are some other products that need refreshing and updating. And my thinking is that because the Apple Watch is going to be a big deal, they're going to finish with that and really focus on that. So if there's some of the things that are ready in the pipeline and things that have been cooking for a while, then Apple was going to start with those. But I don't think they want to load us up with a long laundry list of things and detract from the Apple Watch, because people are expecting Apple to get on with it, and they're only going to have so much patience for, you know, Apple rolling out minor updates. So there's some things that are on our mind. There's a Retina MacBook Air. There is my long wished for 12.9 inch iPad Pro. And as Kelly's going to mention in a minute, there's a possibility for a refreshed fourth generation Apple TV. I doubt whether they'll do three. I think they might do two of those things rather briefly and let them speak for themselves and then move on to the Apple Watch. So those are the three things that are on my list now.
All right, John, I want to start by saying I think it's so cute how Apple – or how you think Apple's going to announce a Retina MacBook Air and the 12-inch iPad on the 9th.
Well, which, by the way, was my reaction this morning, which prompted
what was that word
TDO
you used?
I said, first off, that's adorable.
Adorable. That's Kelly's way
that's right.
of putting
adorable.
You down so sweetly. It's like a velvet glove smack. That's so adorable.
Yeah, Kelly
took a page from the
right
Velvet Hammer himself. Yeah.
Well, you know, there's plenty of time in the coming months to announce a Retina. And they've been doing that at WWDC, right? New MacBook Airs?
Well, the thing about it to me is that, I talked about this a little bit yesterday for loyal listeners, you'll remember, that yesterday I talked a little bit about how Spring Forward made me think of evolution and, you know, not revolution, evolution. Tightening the bolts and you know, trimming the fat on some things. And so I get the feeling that we're going to get something that evolved, one of the laptops. I don't know which one, but we're going to get one of the laptops. And maybe we get new Airs for something. Maybe we get new Retina machines for something. Whatever's going to happen, and it, even if this doesn't happen March 9th, this is my prediction, so get a pen. My prediction is that we're going to have two lines. As soon as there's any sort of change in the laptop lineup, it's going to condense down to two. Right now we have the Air, and then we have the Pro, and then we have the Pro Retina. And I think the Pro is going to go away. They're either going to beef up the Air, or they're going to be able to drop a couple $100 off the price of the Retina machines. And either way, that middle ground of the plain old Pro is going to disappear. So whatever happens, that's going to be a result and effect of it. But I think we're going to get new one or the other. I don't think we're going to get Retina Airs, but I think we may get one or the other, maybe in a new size. Maybe it's just going to be innards. They're going to spend a moment and talk about how the new computers are coming because Intel has new chips and now the new processor does this and the power management is way better and you can get even more time out of it, period. I think we will get the Apple TV. I don't think we're going to get an iPad, John. Sorry. I also think whatever laptop they introduce will not be gold, like you tried to convince me of this morning.
Well, I saw a rumor the other day that Apple was going to try to make the MacBook Air, you know, more like an iPad. And so I saw a convincing argument to introduce the iPad Air in different colors. And the reason for that is because other companies have caught up. There's the Pixel Chrome and some other small notebook computers that look awfully good and are competitive. And Apple needs to differentiate itself. Apple also needs to add a Touch ID to these notebook computers so that you can do Apple Pay on the internet.
Yeah, that might be possible. I'm not discounting that. But gold.
But the reason I started thinking along these lines in the meeting this morning was because here it is March 9th. Why is Apple having an announcement on March 9th when we don't expect the Apple Watch to ship until mid-April? One number I saw was April 16th.
And if Apple says April, what they mean is April 30th. We're not fooling anybody here.
So that must mean that there's some other products in the pipeline that Apple is ready to get on with.
Well, there's also Mobile World Congress.
Yeah.
This, I think, is the strongest argument for this event. Jeff, you came up with this yesterday. Mobile World Congress is breathing down our necks right now.
Right. So Apple makes their Apple Watch announcements ahead of Mobile World Congress. They have just sucked all the air out of the event, figuratively speaking.
Right. And for people who don't know, what is Mobile World Congress?
So Mobile World Congress is a big event, a conference that happens in Barcelona. And it focuses on mobile technology, so smartphones and tablets and other mobile devices. So now the wearable market is becoming part of what happens at Mobile World Congress. So this would make a perfect way for Apple to make sure that they are the focus of Mobile World Congress, even though they don't have an official presence.
So just like CES.
Exactly.
And Kelly, you made a good point during the meeting this morning too, that if the Apple Watch has a facility to control an Apple TV, that those two might make a good pair to roll out on the 9th.
So some credit to our now former colleague, the lovely Chris Breen, who is nearly as lovely as his hair.
That's saying a lot.
It is. He actually is going to work for some fruit company down there in the Bay Area. And so he's no longer at Macworld. But something he was saying this morning is something that I've been considering for a while now, which I presumed was part of the reason why we continue to watch the length of the tooth on the Apple TV grow, is because it's aging until Apple can do something great with it. You know, we know they already say that it's not a hobby anymore. So I think part of what's happening there is, and Chris put it into words very succinctly, which is why I'm sort of giving him the credit for it, because it would have taken me a lot longer to sort of boil it down to this. But he said there was no point in Apple releasing a new Apple TV until you could control it with the watch. And we've talked a little bit about a home automation hub versus a resident device. And the Apple TV being a resident device is an important distinction to make. And what a resident device means is that the Apple TV doesn't go anywhere and it's there to listen on the internet in case you are making a request for something. So that's all it is. And I think that there's a certain amount of merit to that. And then also, you know, it could be another way to tune the automation in HomeKit even more finely, you know, from room to room as your watch moves around. You know, your Apple TV can tell what distance away you are from the hub and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and we also have a precedent for letting a product languish until everything that Apple really wanted for it is available.
And that would be
the Mac Pro.
Yes, the Mac Pro. 4K, by the time you consider how long the Mac Pro aged, the 5K iMac, excuse me, came out at warp speed, basically. So I think the Mac Pro is a prime example. I think what I'm hoping is that the Apple TV is benefiting from the old Apple philosophy of we'll ship it when it's ready and not a minute sooner. Because it seems like we've had a little bit of we'll ship it when it's time and not so much when it needs to be out the door. So I'm hoping this changes that.
So if we had to pick two items, it would be a fourth generation Apple TV and maybe a large iPad, which is rumored for the spring.
No, I'm going TV okay, and watch. John. TV and watch. Those are the two.
That's it, you think?
And actually, yeah. I'm with you, Kelly. I think this is an Apple Watch-focused event, and we will get and any other announcements will tie directly into Apple Watch. So Apple TV with Apple Watch voice control, that's a possibility.
So I'm holding out that the Apple TV, that this is going to be part of the HomeKit kickoff that I've been patiently waiting for lo these many months. So I'm hoping that that this becomes sort of the HomeKit coming out party.
That would be awesome. I would like that too.
And by the way, did you know we offer this nifty new controller for HomeKit? You can slap it on your arm and it starts at $350.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And John, I think that we're not going to see a bigger iPad on the 9th. And I don't think we're going to get the Retina MacBook
Air. I think we'll see one eventually, though.
I think there's a high likelihood that you are correct.
Apple has to do something to kick their iPad sales in the pants. And it's going to have to be a combination of a greater revolution of iOS and bigger displays for us to work with.
This is a brawl for another day.
Yep.
Yes. You know, if you had said this 20 minutes ago... I think this would have been a very bloody, bloody episode. But we'll have to restrain ourselves, and we're going to have to come back to that topic another day because we are out of time.
Oh, no.
So, but before we go, I want to remind everyone, I'm speaking at the ACES conference in New Orleans. That would be May 20th and 21st. I'm giving one of the keynote presentations. I'm pretty excited about that. And then May 23rd through 25th, I will be conducting celebrity interviews on one of the big stages at Denver Comic Con. So you have two opportunities to come hang out with me, and you should totally take advantage of those because I really want to hang out with you. So come see me. And John, thank you for being here today.
Yes, and have a good weekend, adorable Kelly.
And yes, and Kelly, thank you for being here as well.
Thanks so much for having me. I always enjoy getting to tangle with you, John.
Me too.
And I totally enjoy sitting back and watching the fur fly. And thank you to all of our listeners for being here with us for yet another week. And if you have any ideas on what to expect at the March 9th media event, let us know on our Twitter account. That will be at TMO Daily. And we will see everyone again next week.